Today is a subject, and we've been singing it, and hearing it, and talking about it, from the littlest one to the oldest in the house. Did you hear it? The word taste. We're talking about eating. For those of you, if you get close to me, you can see that I enjoy eating. Very much so. I'm probably the most enjoyable eater in the sanctuary. There isn't much I don't like, and I have tasted a lot of different things in my life, but I do and enjoy eating because it's something I do very well. Eating is an important part of family life. Growing up, I remember my mother would say, I don't care where you are, what you're doing, you are to be at the table by 5:30 so that the family would sit together and eat. And that we did all growing up throughout the entire thing. Eating is so important to us because just as the physical body needs nourishment to live, our souls and our spirits need to be fed also. That's the topic today. We're talking about tasting. Not just tasting anything, but tasting of the Lord. When I was at RCIA, which is now 12 years ago, that I was going through the process, a couple things stirred me that I was trying to figure out. And that was the problem I was trying to figure out, rather than letting God do it. One was about the Blessed Mother. I was raised Protestant, totally different thing. And once that the presentation came forth, all of a sudden I realized who the Blessed Mother was and what an influence she could be in my life. In fact, this weekend, I think yesterday, was the Day of Assumption for the Blessed Mother. And thank God we have her as part of our life now. And then we're moving up into that session which we're talking about the Eucharist. I said, Lord, please. Somehow, somewhere, I need to get a hold of the thing about your presence. And a wonderful man who, at the time, was the religious instructor at Central High School, named Dave Wayden, presented the talk that night about Eucharist. And the effect that it had on me was, I leaned over to Sal. I said, Sal, how much trouble would I get into if I could stand on the table and dance? That's how much of a revelation it was. My heart rejoiced, my spirit exploded. Thou had been praying, Lord, let him get it. And the spirit made it come alive. And even to this point, to this day, my prayer and my wish for all of you, if anything, is that you have that same explosion in your heart every time the chance we have to come to his table and partake of him. See, eating is one of the most intimate things we do. You know why? Because eating, when we eat something, it becomes part of us. It becomes part of us. It nourishes us. Sometimes, some of the things we eat, not so much. Sometimes you hear the mom talk about eating when about 8:30 the kids are supposed to go to bed. And sometimes you hear this comment, they'll go, they said it to me once, you've had too much sugar today. That's all there is to it. And all hyped up. So eating is such an important part of us, and it needs how God designed us. So here we are now in this section of Scripture of John 6. We've been listening for about the last 5 weeks, sections of John 6. For those of you who are trivia buffs and like knowledge, this is one of the longest chapters in the New Testament. He's talking about, if you heard it, eating my flesh, drinking my blood. Next week in the reading of the Gospel, you're going to hear the outcome that people had of his cheering this particular call it a homily. And if you're anxious to find out what it was, go to the 6th chapter of John and you will find out the reaction that took place that day. The Eucharist, that's a vital part of us, as Catholics especially, because just as we eat food, we come and we can take of the precious blood and the precious body of our Lord. And as we eat it, it can become part of us. It becomes part of us in such a way that it's part of our very being. What does that mean, Deacon? Why are you so excited when you talk about this? Because when I partake of this, and I come to his table and consume his precious body and drink his precious blood, and it becomes part of me, I have now the ability to draw off the attributes of Jesus Christ himself. What are some of those things of the attributes that I need so desperately in my life? One, I need his love. Two, I need his peace. I know a lot of the moms need peace this week, because I'm not going to say they're starting this week and next week, but we all know what that is. His peace. And the other one that's always good to get a hold of and be a part of is his joy, because it's in his joy we can find strength. When we partake of him and we allow him to become part of us, there is the opportunity for change. And when I allow him to be part of me, I'm 62 years old and I still got some things I'm working on. You'd think I'd have it figured out by now. But by partaking of him, and I draw off of his love and his peace and his joy, I can take that and let it become part of me. And then in turn, I can respond back through his love to those circumstances or those situations or those individuals that I struggle with. I can't do it on my own, but with his love, I can. And so that's why it's such a joyous thing. It's such an important part of man as we prepare ourselves and we come to that point where we can partake of his precious blood. His precious body, his divinity that we can take part of. It's just like, I wish I'd have you explode like I am right now. For if we allow his presence to become a part of our lives and become an intimate part of us, there is then given the opportunity of change. There is then the opportunity for change. His change, for him to be part of us. Likewise, when we're at his presence at the Eucharist meals, he becomes part of us. And as I share, we can draw from those attributes that he makes available to us as his children. That's why in the second reading out of Ephesians, when Paul encourages all of us to try to understand the will of the Lord, he writes, to be filled with the Spirit. Then he tells us, singing and making melodies to the Lord in our hearts. Then he challenges us, and it's not always easy. Giving thanks always and for everything. All those things, when we're here, as we do that, that will allow our hearts to be ready and to be filled with his presence. So when you come today, my prayer always is that you're ready to come and receive him. Because it's only through him that we're going to be able to experience those things and get those things that we need to walk the Christian life. The Eucharist represents a beauty beyond measure. So simple. It's so simple, yet so extraordinary. They stand side by side. Which is not unlike the promise we hear Jesus make in the Gospel today. A promise of profound nourishment. Not just simple nourishment, not just any kind of nourishment, but the nourishment we can receive from him is profound. It's just so profound what we have available to us as believers. And all of this is hidden in the most ordinary of foods. He says, I am the bread of life, the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. Eternal life. Did you hear that? We all need that. Pray with me now as I close with this short prayer. Fill us, Lord, with this bread of life. Transform our murmurings. Help us to find you in unexpected places and to feast always on the life that you offer to each and every one of us this day. Amen.